And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
It is said that there were nine entrances to the center portion of the temple compound where most worshipers went to stand before God. It was the center portion of the compound that only the Jews could go into. And if you looked at those nine gates, eight of the nine gates stood 45 feet tall. But there was one gate that towered above them. The gate on the eastern side of the inner compound, this gate was 75 feet tall. It was covered in Corinthian bronze. It faced the rising sun, and it was said that when the sun would rise in the morning and its rays would strike those brilliant bronze doors, that it brought forth a glow as if the sun itself were shining out of God's holy temple. And so they called it the Beautiful Gate. In their world, in their day, it was a beautiful thing. Beautiful not only because of the rays of sun that glistened on its surface, but because every Jew who went into the compound of the tabernacle, or the temple as it was in that day, walked through that door, man or woman. Day after day, time after time, hour of prayer after hour of prayer, countless people walked through those doors. And little did they know that on a given day, as recorded in Acts chapter 3, the greatest beauty they would see that day was not the beauty of the gate. It was not the beauty of the majestic temple that had taken years to build and countless denarii. But the beauty they would see that day was in a life touched by God. I want us to talk this morning, as we continue to study through Acts, about a beautiful thing. And as we focus on Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, and we'll probably add a little as we look at verses 11 and 12, I want us to see what is really beautiful about the story. And it's not a gate. The first thing I want us to see this morning is that a beautiful thing is a life touched by God. I can't imagine what it's like to not be able to walk. But as they approached the gate on that particular day, there was a man there begging alms. It says day after day he had to be carried there by someone else. From chapter 4, verse 22, we learn that he was over 40 years old. We learn from chapter 3 that he had been lame from his mother's womb. His whole life, for over 40 years. You know, I'm 44 years old. And I found myself in the story imagining my whole life, I had never taken a single step. Everywhere I had ever been, somebody else had to carry me. I want you to think about in a culture that had the false belief that if you were handicapped, it was because you were cursed by God. It was because you or your family had done something to displease God. And so many in that culture believe
that if you were handicapped, God was upset with you because of some sin. That's the background of the story of Job in the Old Testament. And so he grew up his whole life, folks, thinking there was something wrong with him or something wrong with his family spiritually. He also grew up in a society that didn't have the advancements and opportunities that are available today for some who are handicapped. And his world, his really only hope was begging. Generally speaking, in their culture, if you wanted to be able to make it as a handicapped person, you would either put yourself at the gate of the house of a wealthy person, like in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. So they'd put you at the gate of a wealthy person and hope that they'd give you a little money or a little food as they came and went. Or you might put yourself on a busy thoroughfare, like the story of Bartimaeus. You remember the blind man that Jesus healed at Jericho? Or you would put yourself near a place of worship. I think about a Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, we were before the services started for the brethren there in Donetsk, Ukraine. They said, hey, services don't start till a little later this morning. If you've never seen a Russian Orthodox temple, there's one down the road, not far from where we're going to have our services this morning. We just thought we'd run by there and just let you see what one looks like. And I remember as you walk into their structure there, all along the way on either side were beggars that lined up every time there was a service, hoping that people touched by the grace of God, who had in those moments there in that encounter, had thought about the need to help other people. And so they gathered because that was their only hope to get something to eat today and to make it through the day. And so it was in Jesus' day when you went into the beautiful gate. That beautiful gate had lying around it people who in society were not believed to be beautiful. People who in society were believed to be sinners, cursed by God. Every time you walked through the gate, you walked by a lame man who had been lame his whole life. What was in his heart and in his mind as he looked up at two men who walked by? Little did he know when he looked into the eyes of Peter and John that he was looking into the eyes of men who would forever change his life. Did he extend a cup, a hand, a basket, a wooden bowl? Please, sir, can I have but a mite? Please, sir, can I have but a crumb of bread? Please, sir. It's a beautiful thing when you see a life touched by God. I think Peter and John didn't see someone who was unbeautiful, who was ugly. They saw a life made in the image of God, and so they did not rush on by to their worship. They stopped and they looked down on a lame man. And I want you to think about what it was like for him. Think about if you've never used your legs for 40 years, what do they look like? And I want you to understand that when this miracle is performed, there's no doubt a miracle has been performed. You don't have two healthy, muscular, football, running back, linebacker legs on this man. These are two spindly, thin, nothing but bone. Basically, it's bone with a little skin wrapped around it. He's never used those legs. The muscles have atrophied a long time ago. Whatever it was that called him to be lame in the first place, it doesn't matter because those muscles, they don't work anymore anyway. They have shriveled to nothing. What did he feel? What did he feel when Peter spoke those words and by the power of Jesus of Nazareth he says, rise and walk? Did he suddenly feel a tingling in his legs? Did he suddenly feel muscles begin to grow and skin begin to stretch and bone become strong again? Did he see a change in his feet and in his toes? Could he feel it? Could he see it? What was it like for him? I don't know, but the text says that he began jumping up and down. And the text goes on to say the people stood in amazement. Because it's a beautiful thing when you see a life touched by God. I've never seen what happened in Acts 3 happen in real life. I've never seen it up close happen to a person, but I have seen God do amazing things in people's lives. I think of a young man named Ryan who a year ago wasn't even a Christian. A young man in his early 20s surrounded by drug abuse and alcoholism, with negative influences and little hope in this world, especially little hope in his relationship with God. But a white man with the gospel of Christ came into his Navajo village and began to tell him about a Savior that loves all people of all races and all walks of life. This summer, after having become a Christian, he went to his first preacher's camp. This past fall, he went to another preacher's retreat. And last week, he taught a class for the first time on foreign soil, traveling out of the U.S. for the very first time. It is a beautiful thing to see a life touched by God. It's also a beautiful thing to see someone who uses what they have and who gives it to the others for the glory of God. I want you to think of all that Peter and John had done together and had been through together. They'd been in a fishing business together. They'd become disciples of Jesus together. They'd become apostles together. They'd become a part of the inner circle together. The Gospels tell us that when Jesus was making arrangements for the Last Supper, He sent Peter and John together to make the arrangements. The Gospels also tell us that on that early Sunday morn, when word got back to the apostles that Jesus was missing, that the women had found the tomb empty, the text says it was Peter and John who ran to the tomb. They didn't walk. They didn't wait. They ran to see if they could find their Lord. And here again, we find these two now dear friends and brothers in Christ side by side. They had done things and would do things that would forever change the world. When you hold your New Testament, there are at least 18 books in your New Testament written by these two men. 2,000 years after their death, lives are still being transformed by what they said and what they did by the power of God. But they didn't get rich doing it. And so when he held out his cup or bowl or basket, they said, "We don't have money to give you. We don't have silver and gold. We don't have denarii. We don't have a mite. But we do have a God. A God who has graciously allowed us to share His message. A God who has graciously given us the power to touch people with His power." And so they gave what they had. And what they gave was not only the power of a miracle to heal his legs, but you're going to find in next week's lesson, they then preached Jesus. Because what people really ultimately need is not just physical help, but spiritual help. It's a beautiful thing when you see somebody give what they have to bless somebody else's life to the glory of God. I think about ladies who come every Monday to sort clothes in a building across the parking lot so folks who need a coat and something to wear in the winter can come and find it every Thursday. I think about ladies who will gather on a Wednesday afternoon to prepare meals and others who will go out to deliver those meals into the homes of people who may not get lunch that day if they don't come. Or if they're able to prepare the meal, it's going to be very difficult. I think about ladies who scour through store sales and yard sales trying to find coats to give away on a giveaway day. I think of an older lady on a fixed income who walks up and hands a preacher $10 and says, "Go buy a kid a ball who may not have anything to play with." It's a beautiful thing when somebody uses what they have to bless somebody else's life. There are many reasons that I enjoy going on mission trips. But one reason I enjoy it is because you get to see people using their gifts for God. If you're an electrician, you know how to do wiring, great. We've got a children's home that needs work. You know how to drive a bus, great. We need a bus driver to take God's people to different places to preach the gospel. Whatever it is you have, it gives you an opportunity to do it. I challenge us to be beautiful people who give what we have, whatever that is. And no gift is unimportant, and no gift is too small. The third thing I see is that it's a beautiful thing when people give glory to God. Tonight there are a lot of us that will watch the Super Bowl, I hope not during services, but that will watch the Super Bowl. And when the game's over, one team will celebrate. And a city will celebrate. And a portion of the country will celebrate. But I dare say there will not be a single celebration tonight that holds a candle to the celebration that happened in Acts chapter 3. Do not miss the fact that the text says, he stood and he leapt. I want you to know this is a man who had never stood before. He didn't know the sensation of his own weight of his own, on his own feet. He'd never jumped before. As a little boy, he'd watch the other little boys run and play, wishing just one time he could stand up, much less run and play with them. And when his legs grew power, he leapt into the air. He did something he'd never, ever done before. But the text not only says he leapt into the air, but he began praising God. Oh, if we could but have the ability. If all we could but train our hearts. Oh, if we could find some expression of joy within us that when we sing songs to God, we could sing like a lame man who jumped for the very first time. The windows would shatter and the lights would burst from the power of our voices, and they would echo through the halls of heaven. If we could but feel for a moment when a lame man felt when he walked for the first time. But not only did he praise God, I want you to think about what the text says happened to Peter and John. The people were amazed by what they saw, and the people began to gather around. Can you imagine what would happen if there was someone who had the ability to heal people? I talked to a friend recently and we kind of talked about what it might be like to have the life of celebrity. Now you might go into places and folks would recognize you. Sometimes you couldn't even sit down and eat because everybody wanted to talk to you. Everybody wanted an autograph. Imagine what it would be like if you could heal people. Folks would come from all around wanting to say, heal this person, please heal my child, please heal my mother, please heal my husband. And so people thronged to Peter and John. And so what did they say? Hey, we've got the power. If you'll line up, we'll heal you. And we'll put a little basket out and you can pay a little tithe and you can pitch some money in and we'll be glad to help your family. No. They said it's not about us. Don't come to us like we've done something amazing. Don't stare in awe at us like we have done something incredible. We didn't do anything at all. This is all God's doing. In fact, God did it through Jesus Christ. You remember the one that you killed just a few days before or a few months before? He's the one who did this. And so the man touched by God said, to God be the glory. And the man who was the channel that connected the power of God to a lame man, praised and gave glory to God. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing when God gets the glory. I remember one time talking to my father, and he was talking about he gets documents from different brotherhood schools, and he just made an offhanded comment. He said, you know, when I read this one, they talk about all the great things that are happening on campus. And all through it, they talk about how God did it. God did it through us. Or if we'll contribute to this, God will make this happen. He said, I then read this publication, magazine, by another one of our brotherhood schools. And he said, they talk about all the same stuff. They talk about fundraising. They talk about things happening on campus. But they don't talk about God doing it. He said, it sounds like they're doing it all. I wonder what the people around us think. Do they hear and see a people who see God as a part of every blessing and even as a source of hope in every struggle? A people who live life leaping into the air and praising God, saying, if something's good has come out of my life, it's not me. It is the power of Jesus Christ that makes a difference. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to see a life touched by God. It's a beautiful thing to see someone giving what they have to help another to God's glory. And it's a beautiful thing to see a person who gives God the praise. What can God do in your life and mine? What is it that He could do that's not happening now because I'm holding back? I won't give my life to Him. I won't trust Him enough to live by faith. What is it that I have that I could give to another to God's glory? What do I have? All of us have something. In fact, all of us have many somethings, if you will. What is it I need to put to work for His glory? And when we do, will we take the honor upon ourselves or will we give glory to God? Penelope is a story of a girl who lives in a cursed family. The family has been cursed such that the girls in the family are to have the snout of a pig and the ears of a pig. And so that's how Penelope is born. And she's hidden away her whole life. And those who see her along the way as she looks for someone who will love her and be her husband, when they see her face, they run and flee from her because they don't think she's beautiful. But it's a story about a young man who sees her beauty and who falls in love with her just like she is. And it's also the story of Penelope coming to see the beauty in herself, with being okay with who she is just the way she is. I want you to see that as in the story of Penelope, God sees the beauty in each of us. You may feel in life that you don't have what others have, that you're not important, that you may feel ugly in whatever ways. But God sees the beauty in every person. He sees the beauty in a preacher walking through a beautiful gate. He sees the beauty in a lame man who sits along the side holding out a cup, begging for his next meal. And He uses both of them to His glory to do great things. And I want you to see that while you may think you don't have what others have, all of us have something to bless other lives with. And if we'll do that, that makes all of us beautiful. A life touched by God is a beautiful thing. I pray that we'll be beautiful. If we can help you to become a Christian, to rededicate your life to God, or if you just want a hug and a prayer, please come as we stand and sing.